السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This morning we will be talking about how Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with different people. You are tuning to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahir. And my guest this morning is Mulana Arshad Fakir Chabdat from Marlborough. He's also the principal of Madrasa Mu'az bin Jabal in Crosby and director of an NGO called For Humanity. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mulana Arshad, and welcome to Radio Islam International and Youth Talk.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, Mulana, always an excellent reminder, you know, about the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes we get so engrossed in our lives with our challenges and with our difficulties, and we forget how would Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam deal with this problem. What would Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? How would Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talk to so-and-so person? And this show, the intention for the show this morning is to remind our young listeners and to remind parents, follow the sunnah, there's always a solution. And this is the best way forward. Follow what Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us and in dealing with challenges in our lives, and how our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with different people. So Mulana, inshallah, please, if you can, just re-emphasize the importance of learning the seerah for our youth.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhi nastafa amma ba'd. فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا صدق الله العظيم. Sister, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to the listeners of Radio Islam International. When we speak of seerah in the Arabic language, we find that the term seerah comes from the root verb sara yasiru, which means to travel or to be on a journey. So when you are talking of a life of a person or the biography of a person, we are actually traveling or talking about his journey through life. So similarly, when we talk of seerah generally, it is automatically referred to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And why do we study seerah? One of the main reasons studying the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a sign of our love for our beloved Nabi alayhi salam, and it also increases our love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have been commanded by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made mention, as is the riwayat of Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. None of you will have faith and have true iman until he loves me more than his father, his children, and entire mankind. And if we find that if there's any defect in our love or the weakness in our love for Nabi alayhi salam, it is as a result of us not knowing about his life and not studying his seerah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it necessary for us that the ayat al-kareema which I've recited in the beginning, where Allah ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, that there has certainly been for you in the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an excellent example, an excellent role model. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ, for anyone who hopes, who has hope in Allah in the last day, وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, and who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. So one of the most important principles of this particular ayah is to follow our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all his words, his actions, his deeds. So it becomes necessary for us to study the seerah and the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. That if we study the life of Nabi alayhi salam, we will find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been created and made perfect for everyone to follow. So if anybody, be it a father, you will find Nabi alayhi salam as an example. Be it a grandfather, you will find Nabi alayhi salam as an example. Be it a person who is an employer, you will find Nabi alayhi salam as an example. Be it an employee, you will find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam as an example. Be it a spouse, you will find an example in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Every facet of our life, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is an example and role model for us right up to the day of Qiyamah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Well, now, you know, if we're talking about today, how Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with different people, and particularly a lesson, you know, for us, a reminder for us, and obviously a reminder and a lesson for the youth that are tuned in today. Lana, Arshad, so important, you know, during this period of COVID, when there was lockdown and we were unable to see our grandparents, we were unable to interact with our loved ones, and lots of people reminded themselves that, oh, you know, when these times are changing, where we need to sit and prioritize about the important people in our lives. And often we think that, you know, when I'm going to have this opportunity to see my grandparents, I want to do more for them. But sometimes we forget, we make these beautiful intentions, and sometimes we make the effort, and then we get other things that come into our lives, and we tend to forget. If we can please, Balana, if you can please share with us how our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam treated elders. Just as a reminder that, you know, we have these intentions of how we want to be around the elders in our family, but no matter whatever challenges Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself faced, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam always availed himself to be there for the elders. Am I correct?
So basically, it is the way of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that man, insan, will have to go through different stages in life. We begin life as a weak newborn infant, then a person or becomes a strong young person, and finally we go back into weakness, which is old age. Allah Ta'ala says, Wallahu khalaqakum min dhaf. Allah Ta'ala is the one who created you from weakness, then made after weakness strength. Then made after strength, weakness, was shaiba and white hair, meaning old age. He creates what he wills, and he is the knowing and the competent. Islam is keen on taking care of people who reach old age and make those who reach the stage entitled to greater care and special treatment. Anas radiallahu ta'ala narrated that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, number one is to make dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika. Min al-ajzi wal-kasl wal-jubni wal-harami. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from helplessness, to do good, indolence, and cowardice. Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala also says, Nabi alayhi salam is to make dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-uradda ila al-arza lil-umar. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from being sent back to a feeble age. So now, how did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consider and take care of the old? It is mentioned, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, a noble companion, said, a man said to the Messenger of Allah, who is the best of people? So Nabi alayhi salam said, the best of people is one whose life is long and his conduct is good. And then the man said, then who is the worst? And Nabi alayhi salam said, to which, the worst of people is he whose life is long and his conduct is evil. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when taking care, he said that a sign of glorifying Allah is to honor an aged Muslim. It is a sign of glorifying Allah when we honor an old person. And the person who memorizes the Quran, who is neither negligent nor extravagant with regard to the Quran, and to honor the ruler who is fair and just. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes mention that Rasulullah SAW, we know the famous hadith where he said, he is not one of us who shows no mercy to the young ones and does not acknowledge the rights due to our elders and our seniors.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even the Sahaba, let's take an example from this life of Sayyidina Umar. Ibn Kathir makes mention that Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu ta'ala said that Umar went to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala went out one night and entered a home. The next morning, Talha bin Ubaidullah said, I went to that house only to find an old woman who was blind. She was disabled. And I asked her, what is the story of the man who comes to you at night? She replied, he is a man who has been taking care of me for a very long time. He comes to me, he takes care of my affairs, he takes out my trash and my dirt, he brings for me whatever I need, and then he removes all my difficulties. This was the example of who? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, who was Amirul Mu'mineen, the leader of the Khulafa. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a lot of consideration to those who are old and weak. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquered Makkah Mukarramah and he entered the Haram of Makkah, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala came to him, who was accompanied by his father Abu Quhafa, who was not a Muslim at that time. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the father of Abu Bakr, Nabi alayhi salam said to Abu Bakr, why didn't you leave your father at home? He's an old man. I should have been the one to go to visit him and go to him. Abu Bakr replied and said, O Messenger of Allah, you are more deserving of him, of having him to walk to you than you walking to him. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set him in front of him. He wiped his chest with his hand, made dua for him, and immediately the father of Abu Bakr embraced Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even there's a note, the story that we can relate regarding the old lady who was one of the friends of Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha, the first wife of our beloved Nabi alayhi salam, our mother. That when she used to come and visit Nabi alayhi salam, or when she came to Nabi alayhi salam, he gave her a very warm welcome and a very respectful reception. When our mother Aisha radiallahu anha inquired about this, O Messenger of Allah, why are you so friendly and kind with this old lady? And you gave her such a good welcome. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, O Aisha, she used to visit us during the life of Khadija, and being kind to old friends is a sign of one's good faith, is a sign of one's iman. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam respectfully and in a respectful manner asked about her condition, how she was doing, the way she was doing, and he dealt with this old lady. It shows, reflects his good and noble way and treatment to those who are old. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Well, Sharif, if you could just tell us quickly, obviously, you interact with the youth on a daily basis. And when it comes to the youth talking about their grandparents and the treatment of their grandparents, just a reminder to them, obviously, the importance of following the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but also going to visit our grandparents, even when we're older, as young adults, making their time to remind our grandparents that they are loved and they are taken care of.
See, it is, as we made mention in the beginning, the hadith of Nabi alayhi salam, where he says he is not one of us who does not show mercy to the young and does not show respect and honor to the elder. Now, those who need to be shown the most is our own first, obviously our parents and our grandparents. They were a means of us coming into this dunya. And we know the love that grandparents have for the grandchildren. That at times, how they used to treat their children, they were harsh with them. But when it comes to grandchildren, you find that they soften up. This is the nature that Allah Ta'ala had put into the hearts of grandparents. So it is responsibility of us all to take care of them. And many a times we'll find, and my beloved listeners and youth, we'll find that certain things will irk us, that old people do certain things. Let us overlook it with this niyyah that I want to show them respect. They are now old. They are flimsy. There are many, many incidents where we read on the internet and we find that our parents, sometimes how we treat our older parents, not realizing that we are going to go through the same. Yeah. And I'll give you an example. There was an old man. He was sitting, and suddenly there was a bird or something on a tree. And he asked his son, oh, my son, what is this? The son said, it's a bird. After a while, the father asked the son again, oh, my son, what is that? He said, it's a bird. After a while, again, he asked him, oh, my son, what is that? He said, it's a bird. On the fourth or fifth time, he asked, And the son became angry and said, oh, old man, don't you understand? I told you like how many times? That's a bird, it's a bird, it's a bird. The father, with tears in his eyes, got up, went to his room, took out a small book and said, oh, my son, I knew it's a bird. I just want to tell you something. When you were a little young boy, we were sitting at the very same spot. There was a bird on the very same branch or very same tree. You asked me more than 50 times, and not once did I get angry with you. I have noted it down in this book. Subhanallah. So sometimes those who are aged, our old age, grandparents, parents as well, they're going to do certain things which perhaps don't make us happy, or certain things will become clumsy or something. Let us overlook it. Think about it like the ayat al-karima which I've recited, that every man will go through that stage. We must make dua that Allah, at that particular stage, must keep us sound, with sound mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must not make us, you know, if you ask the old people, what dua you have? They say, make dua that Allah does not make me muftaj, dependent on anyone. So this is, we should do the same thing. But remember, one day we're going to be in that position. How we would like others to treat us, that's the manner how we need to treat the next person. That is the golden rule that we have been taught by our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Love for others what you love for yourself.
Most definitely, Mawlana. Jazakallahu khairan for sharing that with us, Mawlana. You know, when it comes to the treatment of women, obviously Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam displayed it in the most perfect way. And this is a reminder for our young listeners, for our young Muslims, about their status in Islam and the treatment that they should expect from their fathers, from their brothers, from the mahrams in their lives. Also for young boys that are tuned in today, understand that this is the way their mother should be treated, their sister should be treated, and all women in general. So obviously when it comes to the treatment of women, Nabi Muhammad has displayed lots of love, lots of affection, and lots of respect. Lana, if you could please share some examples with us.
Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, as I said, was an example for us to follow right up to the day of Qiyamah. Subhanallah. What a Nabi.
Subhanallah.
What a Nabi. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated women with kindness and mercy. And this was due to the nature that Allah Ta'ala had created him upon. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the best of manners and was the most merciful of people towards others. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew how vulnerable and sensitive women were, and thus he was extra merciful towards them. Nabi alayhi salam instructed men to treat women kindly. Amr ibn Ahwas al-Jashami radiallahu ta'ala narrated that he had heard the Nabi of Allah saying on his farewell pilgrimage, the advice during the farewell pilgrimage, one of the most important advices which has been noted down. While admonishing people, he said, treat women kindly, meaning be compassionate and gentle with them and live with them in kindness. Nabi alayhi salam considered women as the twin halves of men. It is mentioned by Aisha radiallahu anha that she said, Nabi alayhi salam has said, women are the twin halves of men, meaning they are equal to them with regard to manners and human nature. In most cases, as if they were the other half of men. Women are equal to men with regard to what Allah Ta'ala ordained, except for matters where exceptions were made via revelation, such as not obliging them to attend Jummah Salah, performing of Jihad, etc. There are cases where women are commanded to do certain things more than men, like in the case of hijab, for her to cover, etc. It is mentioned that Ammara al-Ansariya once went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, why is it that the revelations of the Quran only address men and exclude women? I do not see addressing women in anything. Thereafter, the following verses, Allah Ta'ala reveals that indeed, inna al-muslimina wal-muslimat, indeed the Muslim men and Muslim women, the believing men, wal-mu'minina wal-mu'minat, the believing men and the believing women, the obedient men and obedient women, the truthful men, Sadiqina wa sadiqat, and the truthful woman, the sabirina wa sabirat, the patient men and the patient women, the humble men and the humble women, the charitable men and the charitable women, the fasting men and the fasting women, the men who guard their private parts and the women that and women to do so, and the men who remember Allah Ta'ala, dhakirina wa dhakirat, and the women who do so, for them Allah Ta'ala has prepared forgiveness and great reward. Thus Allah mentions 10 matters in which they were equal to men, and they were praised worth men. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the pledge from women just as he did from men without touching their hands. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he is to be kind. It is mentioned, Umayma binti Ruqayya radiallahu anha narrated, I went to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a group of women from the Ansar to give him the pledge of allegiance. We said, O Messenger of Allah, we pledge not to associate anyone with any partners with Allah, nor will we steal, nor will we commit unlawful sexual intercourse, nor will we kill our children, nor will we bring forth a slander we have invented between our arms and a leg, nor will we disobey you in what is right. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as much as you can bear and your capabilities allow. We replied, Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the most merciful to us. O Messenger of Allah, we pledge to adhere. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I do not shake hands with women. What I say to one woman is good for 100 women. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pledged their allegiance in this way. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was kind, and he said, you know what, khayrukum khayrukum li ahli, that even with regard to his female relatives, he said, I'm the best who treat the best is he who treat the women in a kind manner, and I am the best to my family. And he treated women very gently. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would deal with them leniently, showing mercy, kindness, gentleness, compassion. This is because women are delicate and more vulnerable, and that is why he would refer to them as fragile glass vessels. And I'll just end this narration wherein Anas ibn Malik narrated that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on a journey, and he had a black slave called Anjasha who was driving the camels very fast, and there were women riding on the camels. The Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Wayhat, O Anjasha, drive the camels slowly with the glass vessels, women riding on them. Then he regarded them as fragile glass vessels. That, O Anjasha, take care. Don't go so fast. Don't you know who is on top, who is riding with you, who is seated in on your camels? So take it easy.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Lana Arfad, inshallah, we will be continuing after the ad break. And our beloved listeners, please don't go away. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. You are back on to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahe. And this morning we're talking about how Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with different people with my guest, Mulana Arshad Fakir Chavdat. Just before the ad break, we spoke about how beloved Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with women. And I received a comment from one of our listeners to say that every time she listens about the examples of the kindness that Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam displayed towards women and the way Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged people to treat women, she goes into sujdai shukr, thanking Allah that she is born a Muslim, and she is so grateful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us the status of women in Islam. You know, Malana Arshad, topics like this are always so emotional because there's so much to be grateful for, so much to be thankful for, to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are born as Muslims and we have Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as our role model, the perfect role model to be successful in this world and in the year after.
Yes, definitely. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you must understand, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came into this world, it was a time when women were not given any rights. They were treated like we can term as doormats. It was Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam who gave honor to the women. It was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not only gave them honor, but he showed us how to honor and respect them. That is why he was not shy when someone asked him, O Nabi of Allah, who do you love the most? He said, Aisha radiallahu anha. He said, La, mina rijal, from among the men. He said, Abuha, her father, Abu Bakr. He was not shy to say it. It was a time when people never used to mention these things, but Rasulullah sallallahu did this. When it was time, he took in consideration the emotions also of the women. We've got a next question, but this to display and show how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam took care of the emotions of his wives as well. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just towards the end, latter portion of his life, he returned from a janaza, and when he came home, he had a headache, and Aisha radiallahu anha also had a headache. He said, "Wa ra'asa, I got a headache," and Aisha said, "I also got a headache." And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Oh Aisha, how fortunate you would be that if something happens to you, if due to this headache or this illness, something happens to you, pass away, you will be fortunate that kafantuki wa ghasaltuki, that I will make sure that your kafan is done properly, your ghusl is done properly. I will then, you will be fortunate that the Nabi of Allah will perform your janazah salah and will make sure that you are buried properly." And then look at Aisha radiallahu anha. She said, "Yes, and after that, you will go spend the night with one of the other women." Nabi alayhi salam did not get angry. He understood her emotions and he smiled. And he smiled. This was the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, what a Nabi, what a Nabi.
Subhanallah. Irshad, a lot of parents obviously have faced these challenges when it comes to dealing with their children, with these young children as they move into their adolescent years. And find it difficult in dealing with the different scenarios that they are faced with. And again, once again, our role model, Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, dealt with children, with his beloved children, in such a kind, loving manner. Mulana, if you could please share with us some examples of how our beloved Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam treated his own children, as well as his grandchildren, and children in general.
The relationship of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the children around him were based on compassion and care. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam raised his own children, his stepchildren, his grandchildren on Islamic principles and continued to look out for them even after their marriage. Nabi alayhi salam not only took care of some of their material needs, but was also there for their spiritual needs. Nabi alayhi salam did not differentiate between his own children or his stepchildren or other Muslim children in the community, but he treated them well with the same love and compassion and drew their attention to whatever was necessary for their upbringing and their education. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam shared all the worries and joys of his children, not only in his role as the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also as their loving and concerned father. Nabi alayhi salam was fond of children and showed an interest in their activities. Nabi alayhi salam played joke to them, is to pet their heads affectionately if he passed them on the streets, and gave them sometimes a lift on his ride, on his camel, etc. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never held back his love for children and was always demonstrative about his affection. He, Nabi alayhi salam, was always patient and considerate with the children and took great pains not to hurt their tender feelings. Some people fresh from the pre-Islamic era of Jahiliyyah wondered why the Nabi of Allah played and joked with children and took such keen interest in them. Once they seen him kissing his grandchildren, to this Nabi, they said, "What is this, O Nabi of Allah?" He said, "Whoever is not merciful to others will not be treated mercifully." And if we see today, if we ask psychologists, child psychologists and educators, they will say that the best methodology of dealing with children is found in the life of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Most definitely. And I remember in one of our previous shows, we spoke about also that when Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to engage with children, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to come down and basically communicate with the child, where he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be face to face with their child, making their child feel like it's an equal. That is such a form of respect. There is so much of respect and so much of kindness, making this child feel comfortable.
Yes, yes, that was the Nabi of Allah. That when, even if it be a child or it was an elder, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave his full attention to the children. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know the famous hadith when a young boy lost his bird. And Nabi alayhi salatu was, he had a bird. Nabi alayhi salam used to see him, "Ya Umayr, ma fa'ala al-Nughayr. Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'al al-Nughayr? What happened to Nughayr?" Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to play with them in this manner. And it is said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to walk and the children used to be playing, he used to pet their face, hold them, that they used to feel the coolness of that right up to the evening.
Subhanallah. Well, also an important reminder to our listeners today about showing affection to your children, irrespective of how old or young they may be. If Maulana could just talk a little bit about that.
Yes, which I, as I
again,
said at the beginning,
sunnah of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that hugging your child, like you say, petting your child, making the time to have conversation with him, and telling your child, expressing your love for your child. Especially when it comes to maybe fathers, sometimes, you know, it used to be this typical role where the mother would be more of the softer nature and expressing her love, and the father would be more of a dominant nature, not being able to communicate with his children. And yet, it is not what we are taught in Islam. This is not the sunnah of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Ji, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we said, he was kind. It is mentioned that even when his daughters used to visit him, Aisha radiallahu anha said, I have never seen anyone closer in character and guidance to the Messenger of Allah in his looks, good conduct, and all of his affairs more than Fatima radiallahu anha, the daughter of Nabi alayhi salam. Hazrat Aisha said also, when Fatima used to come and visit, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would stand up to receive her. He would kiss her and seat her in his place. And then when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam visited Sayyidatina Fatima radiallahu anha, she would stand up and kiss her father and seat him in her place. Subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is mentioned, he took her hand and kissed her. He did this out of honor for her. Aisha radiallahu anha narrated that Fatima radiallahu anha came one day and she walked like the Prophet of Allah. So the Prophet of Allah said, "Welcome, my daughter." Then he set her down on his right, or his left. This hadith indicates the place of Fatima in the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How he honored her and how he took care of her. And he used to worry. He worried about their affairs as well. And he worried about the spirituality of them as well. Subhanallah. This was the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he took care of them. He used to worry about them. That how are they doing? And how is she towards her husband, and how is the husband towards her as well? And in this manner, he always asked about their well-being, etc.
Subhanallah. Well, if you're talking about, you know, the treatment of our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to different people, obviously when it comes to visiting the sick, showing kindness to the sick, going to visit them, obviously one earns great rewards. And yet, you know, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was such a busy person, but Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam prioritized. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the time to visit the sick, whether Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew this person personally or not. And also in Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's treatment of those who are disabled, if Mulana could just please share some examples of that.
Ji, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not only visited the sick, but he emphasized it. And we know the great reward that when a person goes to visit the sick in the morning, then more than 70,000 malaika makes dua for that person till the evening. And a person who goes in the evening, more than 70,000 malaika make dua for the person till the morning. These were mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he showed that it is our responsibility that when a person is ill, then it becomes our responsibility to visit. It is unfortunate. We know what we went through very shortly in this last 1.5 years with COVID, and how difficult it was that many could not visit due to whatever reason, that the fear that it was created in the minds of people, that if you are going to be visiting someone who is ill, someone who maybe has COVID, then you are going to get sick. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us how to take care of them. And we must always understand that sickness and health only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It cannot come from anyone else. Even if an illness is contagious, then through contagion is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nevertheless, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself used to visit the sick. And as well, one very important is where we lack in our communities and our societies is taking care of those who have certain disabilities.
Yes.
And no society is free from individuals with disabilities who have been tested to a lesser degree. For example, someone who has lost one eye is less tested than someone who has lost both. And someone who is crippled has been tested to a lesser degree than someone who is paralyzed. And these cases we find are in our community. And how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took care. Some ignorant people might say, what is the purpose behind caring for the disabled or treating them well and spending on them? The people who subscribe to this type of mentality are those who do not adhere to what Allah's command, nor do they hope for what Allah Ta'ala, the Almighty, possesses. Actually, this way of thinking is that of someone who is very far from the true meaning of not only of Islam, but humanity. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had many dealings with those whom Allah Ta'ala, the Almighty, had tested with disabilities and chronic type of illnesses. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam had set the best example in manner he dealt with this type of people in our community. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised them to be patient and would give them glad tidings of paradise. Number one, always give hope. He always gave hope. Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala said, I heard the Messenger of Allah say, Allah said, if my slave is tested with his two beloved possessions, meaning his eyes, lost his eyesight and his patience, then I will compensate him for them by granting him paradise. Subhanallah. That those who have lost their eyesight and those from our family members who have lost one or both of their eyes and cannot see, I give you this great tidings which has been mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when Nabi alayhi sallam said, and is patient, and in another narration, I only am only satisfied with paradise as a reward for someone whose two beloved possessions I have taken away and who deals with that with patience and expecting reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So, Manana, when we talk about disability also, every human being is faced with some challenge. Even when it comes to health issues, everybody is going through something that we do not know about. And obviously, our beloved Nabi Muhammad displayed kindness to everybody, irrespective of their condition. What a beautiful lesson to learn from and a sunnah that we should be following.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. You know, once there's a narration, subhanAllah, if this crossed my mind and I thought, let me share it. Ata bin Abi Rabah rahmatullahi alayhi said, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala said to me, should I not show you a woman from the people of paradise? So I said, yes, why not? He said, this woman, there was a lady in front of him, said this woman came one day to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, I am epileptic. And when I have these epileptic attacks, my body becomes uncovered. And I faint and I don't have control over myself. So, O Nabi of Allah, make dua to Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should cure me from this. Nabi alayhi salam said to her, if you wish, you can be patient and be guaranteed paradise. And if you wish, I can make dua to Allah to cure you. She said, O Nabi of Allah, I will be patient and make sabr. However, my body becomes uncovered. So make dua to Allah that my body must not become uncovered. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made dua for her. Now look at a woman who's going through this type of difficulty, epilepsy. She doesn't have control over herself. She will not be questioned with regard to exposing of her body. But how she worries that I need to conceal myself from the eyes of the next person. And she says, I will make sabr, but make dua to Allah that Allah Ta'ala should not make it such that when I have these attacks, then my body is exposed. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Yet in that state, ahaya is so important to us. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Unfortunately, we will be reaching the end of our show, and you know, there are still some other questions that we're going to discuss. But I think very important, if we can, if Mulana could just talk a little bit about how our beloved Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam resolved conflict, because there is conflict in our lives all the time. Sometimes there could be misunderstandings between friends, between family members, maybe in the workplace, maybe at home, between parents and children. Please, Mulana, if you could just share some examples with our listeners before we round off the show.
Gee, notwithstanding the caliber of individuals living in particular societies, no matter how keen they are on doing good actions, society is never void of differences. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam judged between disputants in a way that gave the right to one deserving the right. Nabi alayhi wa sallam is to reconcile between differing parties, remind them of Allah, warn them against taking even a small portion of their brother's right, and against persisting on falsehood. Nabi alayhi wa sallam would also teach them that they should never forget to be kind amongst one another. Nabi alayhi wa sallam would make them despise the cause of pre-Islamic jahiliyyah, ignorance, tribalism, and those type of things. Nabi alayhi salam raised such a society with every good characteristic. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with those who had differences with him in a wise manner. that would end the dispute and cut it off immediately. You know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ka'ab ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala reported that he demanded the debt that Ibn Abu Hadrat owed him. He demanded that he be paid back to him. And they raised their voices in the masjid to the point that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard them while he was in his home. Nabi alayhi sallam opened the curtain of his home or the door and said, "Oh Ka'ab," Ka'ab replied, "I am at your service, O Nabi of Allah, Labbaik." Nabi alayhi sallam said, "Reduce the debt he owes you. Oh Ka'ab, reduce the debt he owes you." And he signaled with his hand in a manner that meant, "Lower it halfway." Ka'ab said, "I have done so now, O Messenger of Allah." The Nabi alayhi sallam then said to Ibn Abu Hadrat, "Get up and pay off your debt. Go and pay off your debt that you have now and give whatever you have to Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala anhu." Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when there were people disputed, Abdullah bin Zubair reported that a man from Ansar disputed with Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And they came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with regard to the aspect of it. And Rasulullah, they went to Nabi alayhi salam and said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, this is the issue." So Rasulullah said to Zubair radiallahu ta'ala, "Oh Zubair, water your land, then let the water go forth to your neighbor." It was with regard to a dispute with regard to water from the land of Zubair, etc. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa said, "Oh Sayyidina Zubair, water your land, then let the water go forth to the land, to your neighbor." This Ansari man replied to the Messenger of Allah, "O Messenger of Allah, have you given this ruling because he is the son of your aunt?" At this, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam became, his face changed. Then Nabi alayhi salam said, "Water your land, O Zubair," and then told, "Hold the water back until you feed and water your plants completely." Zubair radiallahu ta'ala said, "I think that the following verse was then revealed regarding the story, which means, but know by your Lord, they will not truly believe until they make you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, judge concerning that over which they dispute among themselves, and then find within themselves no discomfort from what you have judged, and submit in full willing submission." This was how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imam Nawawi rahmatullah said, Az-Zubair owned the first land. So the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made peace with him, saying that he should water his land slightly below the level that would be considered your right, and then let go to your neighbor. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did this to make peace with Zubair radiallahu ta'ala, to take his liberty with him, knowing he would accept the ruling, and to show kindness to his neighbor. When his neighbor said what he said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him now to take his right completely. So it showed how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took in consideration the two different parties when they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Man, Arshad, unfortunately, we've reached the end of the show, but you know, there's so much that we can learn about our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa, and there will never be enough time to do such justice to this, because mashallah, you know, there's so much that we can learn from the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazakallah khairan for sharing and reminding our listeners about the beautiful sunnah of our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in abundance for the outstanding work that you do in educating and empowering the youth in our community. And inshallah, we look forward to having you as a guest on Youth Talk again soon, inshallah.
Jazakumullah for having me on the show. Like always, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability of following in the footsteps of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And we should always have this niyyah and intention that whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam done, I will try my utmost best to follow in that way and follow the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And start slowly, day by day, learn one sunnah, teach our children and command them as well. Show them how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam done it. And practically we can do it together. And we ask the youth that look for an example in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his noble companion, the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and let's not look at the so-called celebrities of today who do not even have haya and shame. Let us rather make this near that I will make the Nabi of Allah my role model. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me the tawfiq and everyone else. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. To our beloved listeners, please remember us in your du'as. Inshallah, until we speak again, we will remember you in our du'as as well. Jazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.